Thank you for tuning in, listeners, to the podcast. Or if you're here on the website, thank you for visiting. Tell your friends once again about www.AAA2040.com. Streaming, sermons, affirmations, and even Enlightenment Lounge notes are available on the website. Those can help you with your daily walk. Revelation chapter number 2 and verse number 20. When you have it, say amen. Okay. This is going to be in your hearing. We can stand. And I'll let you get right back down. We can add nothing to God by standing, but we can honor him by standing. The word of the Lord says, nevertheless, I have this against you, talking about us, the church. You tolerate that woman, Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. And by her teaching, she misleads my servants into sexual immorality and the eating of food to sacrificed idols. Now, this is conjuncted. I want you to see that the sexual immorality and the eating of food is both conjoined as in pagan sexual acts towards idols or images of the beast or pornographic materials. I have given her time to repent of her immorality, but she is unwilling. So I will cast her on a bed of suffering, and I will make those who commit adultery with her suffer intensely, meaning those who leave their husband, Jesus Christ, as the bride to be with this spirit. It's a form of spiritual adultery with her to make her suffer intensely. Unless they repent of their ways, I will strike her children dead. Then all the churches will know that I am he who searches the hearts and minds, and I will repay each of you according to your deeds. Now I say to the rest of you in Thyatira, to you who do not hold to her teaching and have not learned Satan's so-called deep secrets, I will not impose any other burden on you. Only hold on to what you have until I come. To him who overcomes and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. That's the crux of what this church is doing. God is giving this dispensation of young people and people who are in the kingdom authority over nations. And he will rule them with an iron scepter, and he will dash them into pieces like pottery. Just as I have received authority from my Father, I will also give him the morning star. And he who has, not plural but singular, an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And the church of God in Christ said, amen. Be seated in the Holy Ghost. Think it not strange, because of what the enemy knew, what was going to be exposed. This must happen. I'm going to ask you all to cease from walking and talking tonight, and make sure that your cell phones are on vibrate so that there are no interruptions during this expose. The spirit that is among not just authority Apostolic Assembly, but all of the prophetic life-giving churches, affirming, inclusive, spirit-flowing churches. Anytime people can come from a dead place into a place of life. The spirit of Jezebel tries to move in to suffocate the voice of the prophetic. It never comes to silence the music. It never comes to silence the choir. It never comes to silence us from shouting. But what this spirit is after is the prophetic voice. Because nothing happens in the earth except it be spoken by the prophets. So to keep us from moving in our fullness, that spirit must first bind up the strong man in a church, in an organization, or in a home. While it is almost unrecognizable at first, this spirit, and these type of people under the influence of this spirit, are threatened by prophetic leadership, who is the main target of concern, and leaders who are under leadership with prophetic gifts. This person, or people within the church, not just this church, I'm talking about what's going on in all the churches right now, because we are in chapters number 3 through 4 of Revelation. Notice in the first 4 chapters, Jesus is speaking intently about the plight of the church and the temperature of the church, particularly the Laodicean church, who is neither hot or cold. They are lukewarm. And so Jesus warns, he talks to the church before any of the seals are released or the trumpets sound or any of the tribulation period elements are even unleashed. The aim of the spirit is to actually control those who move in the prophetic realm. This spirit, if you can write this down, or you can revisit it later on the website, to increase their favor. Such individuals often zero in on the pastor and the church staff, or someone that they know the pastor sincerely trusts. Because if she or he can attach him or herself around a pillar in the church, once her or his tactics are exposed, he will take or she will take the pillars out with her or him. I saw very intently this spirit gravitate towards prophetic strength and sanctification, particularly with the dukes. I saw a swarming of bees around these two people because they represent oneness, they represent union, they represent sanctification, and they are overseers over my prophetic life. I asked God for a covering after my mother passed, and he told me stay under these two and Sister Waller. My mother turned me over to these three before she passed. Whenever there was someone in leadership within a department, that spirit cannot get to you, but it will get to your ally. There should not be two stories coming to the leader. That is Jezebel, because it's confusing. There should be one voice saying the same thing. And if there is confusion, both components must come together before leadership so that all parties can be seen and heard and rightly discerned. And the church said amen. I can only imagine the attacks that you all have suffered and the blows you have taken for just trying to make sure I can still stand and move forward in my calling. And when you are in transition, you need protection. Ever since the sermon, The Sixth Sense, I have been under great attack by this spirit during the bewitching hours of 2 a.m. and 5 a.m. trying to torture my mind, body, soul, and emotions. Because time has come for me to walk in the fullness and lead leaders. It is not who is coming. It is who is already here that has to have their armor proven so that we are not deceived by Satan's devices. After they move in on the pastor or church staff, they seek to find the weakest link in order to subdue them. Those who are depressed, those who are spiritually weak, those who have emotional despondencies, those who are going through personal troubles, this spirit hones in on someone who is weak. Their eventual goal is to try and run the church, but the devil is a liar. None of the churches in this city will be overthrown by the spirit of Jezebel. None of the churches represented in the subscriptions or listeners who are listening to this on the internet and abroad, your churches will not be overthrown by the Spirit. For upon this rock, God said he would build his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against the rock. They seek to gain popular and pastoral endorsements, and such individuals will form strategic affiliations with people who are perceived by others to be spiritual, but you're not spiritual. You're very carnal. Usually the deepest ones are the most carnal. So they have to mask over their agenda with scripture, the look, the religion, the culture, the subculture of that which is churchianity. Someone say churchianity. That's how it's masked, because we are so overtaken, seduced, if you will, by the form of godliness. Glory to God. By the form of church. By the form of things looking and sounding right. And we're at a point now that no one is fooled in the church. We see everything. It's not, I wonder, no, tell someone, I know what's going on. It's to the point now, it's obvious. Oh, glory to God. What the enemy is trying to do. The prophetic realm is always an affirmation, not revelation, for something you have never heard before. Jezebel conjures up silly thoughts, silly ambitions, silly relationships that can never happen. I'm going to say that again. She conjures up and supports your silly relationships that God never intended for you to have, but she or he will support that silliness and have you believing the stuff that your flesh craved is what God wants you to have. It's quiet in this church. When these individuals receive initial recognition, they often respond with something I'd like to call false humility. It's when someone's pretending like it's all about Jesus. Always pointing that finger. No, not me. It's mm-mm. It's him. That false humility. Someone say false humility. This trait is short-lived. They don't stay humble for long. They pretend to be humble so that you think, oh, they're so spiritual. Oh, they're so sweet. God, they're an asset to the church. So, such a sweet, beautiful spirit. Oh, so humble. Man, I hope I can be like that. And then they reel you in so that it looks like they're sober in the spirit and that they're aware of spiritual things. But when they are confronted, these individuals become immediately defensive and try to threaten your life. The Lord does not come to kill you. He said, I come that you might have life. When someone is threatening your life, it is the enemy. For he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. 9 times out of 10, they will not go through with it. Because people that have an intent to kill do it. They don't talk about it. Is to control and put fear over your spirit. Help me, Holy Ghost. Cover me in the Holy Ghost. They will justify their actions with phrases like, I'm just following God. God told me to do this. But when God gives someone something, there is a peace that comes upon you in your spirit that you know God is speaking this. This is because it doesn't come with confusion or questions about where did this come from, and I've never heard anything like this before in my life. These individuals will often allege having great spiritual insight into church government and affairs, but they will not appeal to proper authority. They know how to work within administrations and governments. But when it comes down to really running it through the proper way, through leadership, they will avoid confrontation and attack the leader who is only doing their job and turn it around and make it look like it's an attack on them, and then build a case and get 8 other people who already have a nucleus seed of bitterness within them to side with them out of compassion, not knowing it's deception to overthrow true godly government. It's in this church. It's in our churches. It's not just in California. It's in Germany. It's not just in Germany. It's in Australia. It's in England. It's on the East Coast. It's on the West Coast. And let me tell you, the kingdom of God suffers violence. And violent, vindictive wolves are taking us by force. See, we start shouting when we hear that scripture. The kingdom of God suffers violence. Violent, take it by force. As if we're taking something by force. That's not what that scripture means. It means the kingdom of God is suffering attack and defamation upon the character of who God is in the church. And violent, vindictive spirits are taking us over by force through intimidation and fear and manipulation. Help me, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. When people appeal to others first to plead their case, they're under the spirit of Jezebel. If you really want something to be justified, if you want something to be understood, you don't have a separate conference with people. You go to your pastor about your actions. It's out of order. And the 2 people who were involved with foolishness tonight should be in the house of the Lord to hear this open rebuke. Out of order. You go to your leader. You don't start building cases with other saints and laity. They don't have the authority to discern your spirit. Out of order. And while you clap it and moan and make sure you're not found among them the rest of the night. When these text messages come through to try to get you to side, either way, you don't need to respond. Don't get involved in it. Let the wisdom of Solomon hit me at the right time so I can judge it rightly with compassion and fairness and objectivity. Praise the Lord. Often their opinion becomes the last word on matters. Thereby, they elevate their thoughts above that of the pastor, because this spirit is above the law. It acts as if, and it loves to get close enough to leadership so that it never has to receive a rebuke or appear to the rest of the congregation as if they're closer to the pastor than what they really are. So that you begin to feel you can't confront that spirit, because pastor says it's okay because I'm that close, and pastor may not know nothing about it, but it's a deception. It's deceiving. I run with no one and hang with no one so that when I speak, I have no knowledge of what's going on in your life so I can tell you what thus saith the Lord. I don't want to know. It burdens my spirit. And I'm going to start passing these situations over to leadership that I have seen can judge rightly so I can stay before God. The bigger this church becomes, there will be other pastors here who will be governing this house. But first, I have to make sure that Jezebel is not in leadership. All pastors listening to this, discern every person in your staff. Every pastor listening to this, discern every spirit on your board. Every pastor listening to this, ask God to show you on your wall what's going on, and then show you how to reconcile even souls who have been deceived by Jezebel, that they will still come back to repentance. You see, many times we talk about Jezebel and want to throw it out. But we have to remember, it's not God's people, it's the spirit. And the people still have a soul. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah to God. The enemy would love nothing more than for religion to sound good and correct and make sure that everybody gets kicked out of the church. But a true pastor will correct and say, now come on back into fellowship. You still have need for more salvation and teaching, and God loves you. Even the very elect can be deceived by the spirit of Jezebel. And if it thinks I'm going to push you out, no, I'm going to tell you about yourself and then cause you to come back to repentance through the word of the Lord. Because God still has need of you. This spirit, desiring to avoid accountability, these individuals prefer to pray for people in isolated situations. All of this secret prayer, secret laying of hands, secret prophecies must cease here. Stop it. I haven't seen it, but I know it's happening. In a corner, or in some other room, so nobody can discern what you're saying or what you're up to, or challenge the prophecy according to the word. The Bible says to try the spirit by the spirit, which is the word. And if the prophecy doesn't line up with the word, it's folklore fortune telling. Prophecy is here to keep us in the now, not to give us fantasies about the future. Eager to gain control, these people will gather others and seek to teach them. Unauthorized separate Bible studies that the pastor does not know about. Well, I just need more word during the week. Okay, then why don't I know about it? If it's so harmless and spiritual and of God to keep you in your walk, why don't I know? You don't have separate intercession prayer meetings or anything else, because when those spirits you conjuring up start attacking you, you're going to be calling me asking to pray that stuff off of you. And if your house is not consecrated to conduct a service, you don't want the residue left in your house. While the teachings may begin correctly, doctrine is obviously established that is not supported by the Word of God, because that person begins to seep in their ideologies about their private interpretation of the Scripture. When the Bible says there is no private interpretation of the Scripture, when you study it amongst other people so that you don't get confused by your private studies. So that someone can say, wait, sis, but this scripture over here counteracts that and says that's what that really means. But by yourself in private, you get your own little concept of things that could lead others astray. When the Lord gave me a word about how the tribulation period was going to begin and showed me like when it actually happens, before I presented it to the church, which I still have yet to do, I called those in authority. I submitted that revelation to Elder and Sister Dukes. They were at the mall. Before I give it out, if I hear something that's brand new, I've never heard before, I want to make sure it's discerned and proven. And they worked with it. Said, I told them to get back to me about it. What did they say? Pray on it. As excited as I was, I could have been excitedly wrong. But when you have people in your life to help you look through those scriptures and puree those scriptures and go deeper into those scriptures and find new dimensions of those scriptures, it helps you not to have tunnel vision with your own foresight. Praise the Lord. They love to deceive other peoples with soulish prophecies. What are soulish prophecies? Prophecies that make your emotions swell up. Prophecies that massage your ego. Prophecies that make you feel good, like God's okay with you, even though you know you and him are not in fellowship right now. How is God going to give you a word about how blessed and rich you're going to be, and you know you are not in fellowship with God? The Bible says if we love him, we keep his commandments. So all we can do is walk it out the best way we know how. But when people start massaging our spiritual egos, how good we are, how powerful we were, how awesome. Jezebel comes in with flattery first. She compliments your belts. She compliments your hair. Ooh, me and you just alike. See, we think just alike. No, we don't. Trying to find some common denominator where she can get attached. And first of all, she loves to go eat with you and loves to ride with you and always needs a ride from you. Praise the Lord. Until this person becomes your shadow and begins to tell you how to talk, when you can use the bathroom. When you can leave church, when you need to leave church, who you can talk to, who you can't talk to, and you're a grown up, the devil is a liar. Jezebel is controlling you. It's not just a woman. It's any spirit that tries to control your mind. And you won't even realize it's in there because you're so used to them pouring into your problems and making you feel wonderful that you don't know they're using your emotions to get into your spirit and claw themselves into you like a tick to suck the very life out of you. They have no life of their own, so they suck the very spirit out of you. How is my prayer partner making me feel more depressed after I get off the phone with them? I feel worse after I talk to them. It starts off spiritual, then I feel drained after I get off the phone. It's Jezebel. They called to encourage you. You're discouraged by the time you hang up. Anxiety, can't go to sleep, afraid. They're up there telling you about demons in your house. No, the demon was on the phone telling you about the demons. Because they sent them to you. Shh. Holy Ghost. They tell people all these things so that they will gain credibility. They prophesy half-truths or little-known facts as if they prophesy like they were from God. If God told you X, Y, and Z, where is the manifestation? Where is the manifestation? Y'all still following people that told you 6 years ago that somebody was your husband and that person's married. So now the Lord's gonna cause a divorce in a different marriage to give you what that witch prophesied to you? And God goes against his word in the covenant of marriage to give you what the witch told you was yours, who didn't know that's what you wanted till you cried and said that's what you wanted. She didn't have enough discernment to know what you wanted. She had to keep asking questions. He had to keep asking questions to find out what it is that your soul, your flesh, your emotions desire. But the Bible says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. People shouldn't be asking you who you want to date and who you think is cute. They should be asking you, how's your relationship with the Lord? When's the last time you talked to him? How's your prayer life? Someone should be challenging me. Somebody should be making me accountable. I should have people around me that get on my nerves because they don't let me get by just because I'm anointed. Come on, church. Because you've been in church longer than them. There's some people you're going to bring to church and they're going to rebuke you even though they're younger in the spirit realm. And you're going to be like, well, how are you going to tell me I've been in this thing? It don't matter how long you've been in here. You need accountability partners in your life, not prayer partners. People that will challenge you to a more excellent walk in Christ. And if they get upset, so what? Love them through them being mad at you and say, I'm sorry, but I want you to make heaven your home. That ain't a friend that sees me about to go into a pit of snakes and say, oh, grace and mercy. No, tell me there's some snakes. Beware of that person. They're messy. Shh. That's a real friend. That's a true friend in God. Individuals take advantage of someone else's poor memory by twisting their previous prophecies to make it seem as if their words really did come to pass. And because it was so long ago when they told you, then they make sure that when something comes up, they try to twist it to make it look like that foolishness was right. But they said it so long ago that you forgot how they said it. So you missed the details on what they told you the first time. So by the second time they try to confirm or affirm their prophecy, the prophecy has changed twice.
Oh, I see you getting married.
I'm already married.
Oh, well, I see a wedding renewal, and I see your vows being renewed.
What? So the Lord messed up right there? Our perfect God messed up right there? Okay. Although the laying of hands is biblical, say it's biblical, these individuals like to impart a higher level in the spirit. Jezebel sees the man of God or the woman of God in prophetic office. That means whoever has the baton at that time. If there's a guest minister, if there's a guest evangelist that comes in, or the pastor, or whoever is in leadership in the prophetic at that time. When they lay hands on someone, this spirit comes behind them to make sure that the true deposit goes all the way through. As if it's a spiritual ploy to get the laity to think that the pastor or the leader or the preacher is not powerful enough to complete the whole job, and make the audience think that it takes their final touch to make it go through. It's deception. So after the pastor or the leader has laid hands on them, you are not to be touching their stomach, hubba bubba, and bubblicious all on they pelvis, like you have to finish the work because the leader wasn't powerful enough to plant the true essence of the Holy Ghost in them. I'm not planting no Holy Ghost in nobody. We're touching and agreeing by faith, and the energy between our faiths ignites, and that's how somebody goes out. It's not my power, it's not them, it's both of our faith connecting. Praise the Lord. If I'm praying for people, or someone in leadership is praying, and you are an LCM or an assistant, you are out of order to fall out under the anointing while I'm praying for someone else. You supposed to be helping, and we stumbling and flipping and flopping over the assistants. The assistants need assistance now. You have to be spiritually mature enough to say, Lord, yes, this oil is heavy, but I'm not going to collapse under this anointing. You better stand there and take it. If you're praying for people, you don't turn back around and get prayer when you just got through praying for people. Knocking the whole church out, now you turn around and come up, I need prayer. Well, wait a minute. Then you should have got prayer and not prayed. Not pray, then turn around and make the audience think that people are praying that need prayer. Y'all ain't saying nothing to me. Leadership cannot look weak to an audience that's looking for spiritual stability. And the church said, amen. It's rough in here, but I'm telling the truth. I hope you're still with me on this journey. Praise the Lord. Their touch is a curse. Instead of a holy blessing, an evil spirit may be imparted. So be careful. Be careful about all that. The only praying that should be happening is when you see whoever's in leadership. Sometimes when a guest preacher comes, he doesn't even want ministers praying. He or she may want to pray. But a real man or woman of God will ask, because the spirit is subject to the prophet of the house, they will ask, is it all right if I impart a word? Is it all right if I lay hands on people in the congregation? They don't just move and start. Okay, let me say this, because so many people were so stunned by who was allowed on the pulpit that they didn't realize that the pulpit basically was able to do whatever they wanted to do without... When I come back in, things are happening that I never released or authorized. Then I can't come in and bring things in order when that happens. You have to make sure that if something's going on, when I'm not around, or whoever's here in my stead, or whoever's giving the word of the Lord maybe in my stead, there should not be anything new going on when that person who is in leadership is not around.
There can't be 9 different people going out into the audience imparting words into everybody that have not been submitted to the man or the woman of God in authority to say, this is God, and I release this into this flock. Because we have to look out for the sheep. That's the word of the Lord. It's not a control factor, it's an order factor, so you're not barking like a dog 3 hours from now. Ribbiting and hipping and hopping up your stairs and don't know why, because somebody done put something in you that you don't know about. Whew. All right. Say spiritual pride. They always look deep. They always look, they have that, I call it prophecy face. You can always tell when they're about to get started. And then they breathe hard. You've seen it. And you'd be like, are you popping popcorn or you have a word from the Lord? Got that look real deep, over the top look. They're the first to cry, wail, mourn, claiming they got a burden from God. I'm carrying you in my spirit, but you're distracting the whole service. Okay, now where is the interpretation for this major distraction to this service? Who has the word? Who has that? What is that interpreted as? The spirit is subject to the prophet. Bring your emotions in order until you are released to praise God. You better hear me in the Holy Ghost. If there's not one person governing that service, it'll be a free-for-all, a prophecy, laying in hands, speaking in tongues. It'll be a circus in this church without some order. And somebody need to say amen. It's not happening up in here. It only happens when we start shouting a lot. It only happens when everybody's going in. Then you start seeing people break away with their own separate revivals. And because you can't discern it and you caught up in the emotion, all these transfers are happening from people who ain't even been to church. You got a word for me, but you ain't at Bible class. You got a word for me. You're never at prayer. You got a word for me. You don't even bring a Bible to church. You text during service and you got a word for me. You still backbite on your brothers and sisters, but now your mouth is clean to speak a word in my life. Jezebel. You got to discern just by people's walk who can speak into you and who can't. Based off of their consistency, based off of their faithfulness, based off of how they conduct themselves and treat their brothers and sisters in Christ objectively. This is someone who I trust can speak into my life. And how will I know the confirmation is that they can go ahead and go through? Is that they say, let's go to the pastor. I have a word for you. I want to make sure it's all right. Pastor, this is what the Lord has given me for this sister. Is it all right if I, you know, impart this? And I have the power, or she has the power to say no. Not because it's not right. It's not time. That's the right word in the wrong season, and it's going to cause this church to split because their spirit is not ready to handle that type of strong meat yet. Sometimes God will allow life to hit that person so that their spirit will be so broken that when the word comes, they'll be ready to receive it because they were already broken by God, not by your words. We are Holy Ghost filled. If we are indeed filled with the Holy Ghost, there has to be something sobering about God's house. If you feel comfortable cussing in God's house or cussing someone out in God's house, a spirit has taken control over you that you don't even realize you are reprobate. Because when you don't have a consciousness for even respecting God's house and can say anything you want to, there is a spirit that has taken over you through emotion or anger that has caused you to override the Holy Spirit and desecrate your house and this house. So that's why we had to come back in here and sanctify this place with praise. This stronghold causes divorces and marriages. In the church, the stronghold that is here is trying to cause division. The strongholds of this spirit are provoking bitterness, jealousy. There's so much anxiety in this church. Too many sufferers of anxiety in this church because Jezebel is controlling somebody's life. Anxiety is a direct hit as a result of Jezebel's fear tactic. Why? Anxiety kicks up when you don't have rest. She makes sure you toss and turn. He makes sure you toss and turn at night. You can't even work because you're so tired from the previous night of going through the emotional back and forth with this spirit. Help me, Holy Ghost. Help me, Holy Ghost. Somebody cover me in the Holy Ghost. Someone pray right now. I feel a rattlesnake spirit. I feel this recoiling spirit. It's a spirit that wishes it could put venom in my neck tonight. But I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. Because I got to get God's people free. Whew. These strongholds empower Satan and his demons while grieving the Holy Spirit and God's angels. These strongholds keep individuals from accepting what Christ has made them to be, and thus keeps them from fulfilling their personal destiny in God. That spirit also uses religion to convince people they can never be saved enough to be used of God. That is also Jezebel. It's a spirit that sets the bar so high, they make up stuff that the Bible hasn't even said, to make sure everyone is below them and can never reach that place in God. Hallelujah. Strongholds or foothold or a place of operation the devil possesses in us. Go to Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 22. Stay with me, listeners. This will be a good time while this congregation is turning to this scripture. If you are listening, get your oil now and begin to anoint your house. While this is playing, I'm going to give you 2 minutes to start anointing your house, because you're going to claim your territory. For some of you, you are Holy Ghost filled and the devil has coffee with you every morning. Don't even have peace in your own house because you're afraid. Well, if it's too big for you, let God do it. Anoint, 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 and repossess the house, the apartment that God gave you. That argumentative spirit has to shut down. That loose, lusty spirit that was released in your house, shut it down now. Anoint your house. Open up your mouth. Help them pray over their house, church, while the listeners are listening. Pray over your house. Cover your head. Cover your mind. In the name of Jesus, all over this world, wherever you are, anoint your house. Get some blessed oil now. If you don't have blessed oil, find some oil and bless it and make it blessed. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. These strongholds must be broken in the house, because God's about to send you your help to your house, and you want to make sure the house is clean. When a baby's about to come home, when a baby's about to come forth in the spirit, you have to sanctify the house. You have to sanitize the house so that that child doesn't be overtaken by fungus and mold and bacteria that spirit has left in your home. So cleanse your house, sanctify your house, consecrate your house back to God, because happiness is coming, but it doesn't need to come into an infested house or a manipulated home. In the name of Jesus.
And the church said amen. Ephesians 4:22 in the King James Version. When you have it, say amen. All right, read. Let me read that to you in an amplified version. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self. This is the season where you can't keep blaming how you're acting now on the way you've always been. You have to become a new creature. Jezebel, she supports that. Yeah, honey, that's in my family too. We just don't tolerate that, honey. It's been going down four generations deep. Well, that's a devil four generations deep. You need to break that curse and get that anger and that tongue and that cussing and that slapping and that choking and that strangling under subjection to the Holy Ghost. How are you filled and don't have temperance? And now you're going to play us into the heavenlies? You're going to direct us into the presence of God? And you're liable to show up here and try to kill somebody? Don't be used by that spirit. You'll snap up out of it, don't know what happened. You saw red. You don't remember what happened. You just got so angry when you came to, your whole family was killed. Because of rage and the spirit of Jezebel. No one is afraid anymore. Somebody say we're not afraid. You think people are afraid of your big mouth. A soft voice turns away wrath. You want to show how much power you have? Get silent on them and pray in your spirit. Strongholds produce financial disorder and will bring about spiritual disorientation because you think God's not blessing you anymore. No, he doesn't want Jezebel to receive benefits for something she did not pray for. Because that spirit tells you everything you want to hear so they can get a portion of your check for a prophetic commission. But you know, I did speak some to you. I really was there. I really listened to you. So, you know, I'm kind of tapped this month. Okay. Well, since you're so prophetic, I want you to prophetically see the lotto numbers. Strongholds weaken our body and make us vulnerable to diseases. Because as long as we're sick and as long as we're not feeling at our best, tell the truth, we can't praise God the way we want to. We can't pray the way we want to. Strongholds of Jezebel provoke us to respond to others in ways that we don't even understand why we went off that way. They fragment attempted friendships and steal our joy and hope. Strongholds can only be killed at the root. They cannot be removed by simply addressing the manifestation or the conflict that manifested publicly. A rebuke about what happened tonight will not stop what happened. It's a root within people's spirit that goes back, that must be uprooted by the Spirit. It must be uprooted by the Spirit. Some of you all who were here through the era of 2004 and 2006 know that I did not have any musicians. I had no choir. Too much confusion and strife was singing behind me. And if you all can't get along, you're not going to come together to pretend you like each other. Sit down until you can get your flesh under subjection. And while you're silenced, you still going to come to church and look like you want to be here. That's what you're going to do. And if you can't do that, you're fired. You're fired. Everyone in leadership here is still on probation. It hasn't been 90 days yet. The moment we start seeing wayward spirits and confrontations and confusion coming up from your department repeatedly, we're shutting you down, especially if you ain't bringing in no money. Not only are you causing confusion, you're costing us. No one's ministry should be a liability. No one's department should be a liability. Everyone's contribution, from the person who makes cupcakes to the person who paints the walls or changes the water, it should be an asset to the kingdom, not a hindrance or a grievance to the Spirit of God. Red flags. Write this down. These are the things that indicate that a storm is brewing on the horizon with the spirit of Jezebel. I just want to be your friend. More than likely, people who say these things will have expectations that you will never be able to meet. Yeah, they're your friends, but they become clingy. They don't want you going anywhere without them. Number two, I just want to help you get to where God has called you to. In other words, you can't get to your destiny without me. # epic fail. I don't need you to get where I'm going, because you didn't help me get to what I got into. I did that by myself. I messed up by myself. I don't need someone helping me be bad. If someone is helping you do worse, that's not the person for you. This person should be helping you strive for excellence. Number three. There's no strings attached to my help. I just want to serve. You just want to serve. What do you want to serve? But you'll find out there's a whole bunch of hidden strings that are attached. Number four. You can trust me. I'll always support you. I've heard that before. Such people will support you as long as you do what they say. The moment you get a brain of your own, they start to try to intimidate you or get loud or front you off in public so that you'll get quiet. Jezebel gets loud, draws attention to her or himself, so that other people begin to fear who they are. And then people walk around the church, oh, you better not say nothing to Mother so-and-so, because she'll go off. All these legendary attitudes running around the church. Oh, don't mess with Deacon so-and-so, because you know he... Why should I be walking around on eggshells in God's house with spirit-filled people? The devil is a liar. That's fear. The enemy uses fear to control God's house. Somebody say, God has not given us the spirit of fear. When people don't want to deal with you, there's something they're hiding. When they don't want pastor to know, they're up to something. Jezebel, they ask you for authority in the church. But authority belongs to God and the under shepherd of the church, Jesus being the chief. If you're going to confront them, beware. Make sure you tape record the meeting. Because Jezebel gets amnesia and will act like she never said it or does not recall anything she told you privately once the pastor or the other party is involved. Is that your job? People say one thing to you privately, then when they get confronted about it, oh, well, that's not how I meant it. That's not how I said it. I don't remember saying it like that. Yes, you do, you liar. You lying. It's just that because you got busted out on your trickery, that now you're trying to act like you were confused about what you were saying when you were clear when that other person was not around. Praise the Lord. I know it's in the house. Bring a tape recorder and make sure you let the individual know that you're taping them. And if they don't want you to tape them, that's because they are a liar. They don't want evidence. It's against the law to tape somebody without them knowing it, so let them know. If you're going to confront them, you better seek counsel. You want to confront this spirit, but how much does this spirit know about your sexual past? What can they use on you to discredit your anointing? See, Jezebel wants to know everything. They keep getting closer and closer to you until you start telling them all your desires and all the things that you've done in a form of confession. Yeah, I did this. I tried this. I did that. And they're telling you they're keeping a confidence because they're spiritual, right? Until you try to move away from them. Then they start spilling tea. Yeah, honey, well, they ain't that deep because, you know, they slept with so-and-so, so-and-so, so-and-so. Whoop-de-whoop-de-whoop-de-whoop-de-whoop. They go there. They start spilling tea. The Bible says truce breakers will also be in hell, those who break confidences. If someone asks you to keep something a secret and you truce break, you go into hell too. Especially if they're emotionally vulnerable, spiritually destitute, and they come into you as a mature Christian in Christ, trusting that you're going to keep their stuff. Come on now. That ain't right. That ain't right. Then they end up not coming back to church. Now they don't want to deal with no church people. They hate God because you spilled the beans. They trusted the Holy Ghost in you. And I am not afraid tonight. I am not afraid tonight. I don't stand in my own ability. I stand in the Holy Ghost and on the Word. It's my job to make sure fear and manipulation and intimidation does not control your life. You are God's daughter and God's son. Hallelujah. Pray before you speak in any confrontation. Ask the Lord to bridle your tongue and to listen more than to speak. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal your hidden issues. Ask the Lord to break down you and give you a broken heart and contrite spirit. Ask the Lord to forgive you before you go trying to check someone else about their spirit. Lord, if there's anything in me that was wrong, check me first before I go trying to correct somebody else in the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Ask the Holy Ghost to do his work. It's amazing how issues will surface that had not been previously known that will make you feel stupid for the way you acted before you found out all of the details. We respond to portions of evidence. Then when we find out the whole truth of the matter, we feel remorse and we want to repent. We feel dumb because we overreacted because we didn't have all of the components of the story. Ask the Holy Spirit for wisdom to discern what is spiritual by discerning what demonic spirits the individual has embraced. Ask for discernment about what is natural or from the person's upbringing, such as harsh parental issues. Many people operate in strife, in energies of meanness, because it stems from the way they were raised. Make sure you are able to make a distinction and disseminate between what is learned and what is given by them embracing a spirit. Number four, avoid becoming angry at all cost. Jezebel wants to know she or he can control you by making you get upset, cuss, yell, and scream. Remain calm, which will infuriate Jezebel. Do not overreact and do not make the issue larger than what it is, and keep Jezebel on target. Don't let her start jumping to various subjects to confuse you. Keep her on target. Keep him on. What are we coming to talk about? This. It has nothing to do with 94, 95, 96, or 97. We're talking about April 2010. Right here. Keep it right here. Don't let them trick you. Do not ignore the problem because they will not disappear. From the moment that the problem is suspected, it's important for you to document all third-party information. You're going to have to become a detective, a private investigator. You have to record dates and times and places and what was said, because this spirit will lie to itself. So if it will lie to itself, it will lie to your pastor and it will lie to God too. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, trying to piece together tidbits of information will only lead to Jezebel's denial. No, you got to give her facts. You got to give him facts. No, this is what you said. We were in the lobby, and this is what you said. We were on the parking lot, and this is what you said. This is what you said. And here is my witness to affirm that they were there and they heard you when you said it. At this time, this date, this is what you said. During the confrontation, always have someone in the room with you in case they decide to get violent. Bring someone with you. That's wisdom. Confront each issue with grace. doesn't mean be timid, but it means be gracious about the way you approach any human being, whether it's under the spirit of Jezebel or not. You approach people graciously. If you come in trying to address an issue that is harsh with harshness, you are not going to get a resolve to the problem. Be specific. Explain your problems. But do not make the mistake of revealing names and specific accusations, because then they'll go back to that person and doctor them up to turn against you. Get permission from all third parties to use all testimonies along with their names. Don't just throw people's names in your stuff without their permission. If you don't do that, this Jezebel spirit will deny ever having said any of these things. This spirit is nothing but a spirit, and it can be driven out through prayer and fasting. But above and beyond that, you must be courageous. You cannot be afraid. It will get loud on you. It can try to rip a church apart. But because we've seen it before and conquered it before, and the only reason why it was here before was because we were about to go to another level. So now these things are happening, because when you give people titles and positions and authority and new members come in and new alliances come in, the first thing members try to do is talk to newer saints to defame the character of leadership, so that these new babes in Christ have no confidence in godly authority. They try to shoot down the reputation of everyone. They did this. Don't trust them. Because you had a bad dealing with them. Don't mean that everyone is going to. Don't tell your pastor when he needs to judge on matters. God shows me much more than I let you know he shows me. But if I judge like man, souls will be lost. While you're happy they've got blasted, a soul has been broken. My job is to make sure that when I correct, I do like a parent. Yes, we had to go here tonight, but a real parent will embrace that child after they spank them. They're not just going to leave them out there isolated in that state. But I wouldn't be a good leader if I didn't protect and serve. Guard your ears. Guard your hearts, not just at church, on your jobs, with your family. You know how much mess is in your family? And just in your family, mess. You have to learn, you know what? I know this is important to you, but I really don't want to be involved in that kind of talk right now. And just be nice.
Well, you used to be involved in this kind of talk, honey.
They start trying to accuse you then, to pull you back into who you were, but you're a new creature. So ignore that. Don't answer a fool according to his or her folly. That's just trying to make you react.
Well, I'm saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, and I bind you now in the name.
Look. Wait. Shh. Just say, I don't want to hear that kind of talk right now. Don't go into, God's elevating me, take me to a higher dimension. I've been in his face. I'm in the throne room on my threshold. You don't have to go into all that. I just can't do that. Just because of where I used to, I can't do that. I prefer, or if you don't want to talk, just with no big deal, excuse yourself from the conversation or the room. This summer, make sure when you are amongst a lot of people, that you slip in through the side door and you slip out through the side door. Don't make a big goodbye and don't make a big hello. All they know is you showed up. All they know is where'd they go? Don't make a big entrance. Don't make a big exit. People talk when folks come in. You can hear the buzz. Just be amongst them. Just get in. They don't even know you in there. Don't make a spectacle of yourself. Don't be the life of a party unless you're willing to reveal the tears of a clown.
This
so much fun?
Yank, 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 slut, hoe.
Key, 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 key,
yank, yank.
They swell you up so you feel like you gotta be at all the social events. Be careful. Just get in, do what you have to do. Slip out. Amen.